blessing that is. Thank you, Faith. Thank you for that. I know that on the piano there's 88 keys. Is that right? 88 keys. And I believe Faith only has 10 fingers. But I believe somewhere in there she took her shoe off and played with her foot, too. Amen. And I admire our musicians. I appreciate their dedication and appreciate their talent and appreciate all the work that goes in it, because I live with one. And I see how much practice she has to do. But we praise the Lord for what God has blessed us with. Musically, they carry me through my foibles. We're going to ask the Greers to come sing now. Praise the Lord for them. Amen. And their willingness to sing. Amen. Let's turn to number 185. 185 in your hymnals. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He washed it white as snow. I heard the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray.
Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all.
Let's turn to number 434. We'll sing one other, and this Miss Juliana and or Miss Carol are going to sing a special for us. He keeps me singing. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, ladies, for that wonderful song, The Truth of the Song. Amen. I thank God for his love for me and what he did. He snatched me as a firebrand plucked from the burning. He took me out of the miry pit and established my goings. Amen. It's good to see all of you today in the Lord's house. We're going to turn this morning, if we would, to 2 Chronicles. The book of 2 Chronicles. You can go to Genesis and turn right. Or if you went to Matthew and turned left, it's closer to go to Genesis and turn right. Amen. All right. We're going to read some verses in just a moment in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, if you would. We're going to 2 Chronicles 26. Let's have just a word of prayer before we read and ask God's blessings on our time together as we look at the Word of God this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you once again with a thankful heart of all that you've done for us, for the great love that you've shown on Calvary, for this a lost and a dying world. And my Father, I would ask you now to get glory and honor from our lives today. Get glory and honor from this service, we pray. And Father, I pray that you would show us from the Word of God. Show us our sin. Show us ourself. And Lord, I pray that you'd show us our Savior. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to the Word of God in every part. And my Father, I would ask you now to speak to our hearts today. I would ask you, Lord, for this preacher, that you would so fill me to the uttermost. Father, you told us, our Lord Jesus said that he would call another comforter aside to help. And Lord, we thank you for that help. This preacher needs that help. These people need that help. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, for the blessed promised comforter to come alongside and do that we cannot do, say that we cannot say. And Father, we will praise you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. We'll come back to some of these verses in just a bit, but 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecolah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in visions of God, And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jebna, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbel, and the Mahunans. And the Amorites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name was spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt. For he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner of the gate, at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel. He loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600, and under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings and to cast stones. And he made Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and to keep stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Now, I want to stop right there from reading for just a moment. And I want to look back at some of these verses and the rest of the chapter in just a moment. But everything is great here if we could have stopped at verse 15. If at verse 15 we could have stopped. But notice the next word, the very next word after verse 15. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now, if you'll notice, King Uzziah took the throne after his father Amaziah, and then as we would read the finish of this, we'll see that his son actually took the throne after him. And but Uzziah was one of the great kings of Israel. As a matter of fact, it tells us in verse 5 there verse 4 it says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And then it says in verse 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. By the way, this is not the Zechariah the prophet in the Old Testament. This is long before him. This is an unknown man other than right here. But he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, I want you to notice very carefully in this verse, there are a lot of people that say, well, we're seeking the Lord. There are a lot of people that will try to seek the Lord other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we know according to the Scripture, there's only one way to know God, and that's through our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice it says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Just one seeking the Lord and it will not necessarily make one prosper. He said, God made him to prosper. And let me submit to you that we do serve a living and a sovereign God. Amen? And we know that God can make all prosper. All those who would seek him, God is able to make us prosper. And I would suggest to you that in every part of our life, in our daily life, family life, and material life, whatever it is, we should seek the Lord always. Should seek the Lord. We get down to this verse 16, and that's where we really run into a bump, don't we? But, he says, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. I want to talk to you this morning about the danger of pride. The danger of pride. Now, anger in the hand of God is a wonderful tool, and it is always holy and justified in the hand of God. However, selfish and sinful anger can be a terrible and destructive weapon that is often used by the devil. Too often, selfish anger leads to committing of sin that hurts others and destroys lives. In fact, the person who is angry is always affected more than those upon which his anger is unleashed. Let me just give an example right here of our present day. We have seen much. If you would have to not be able to see it all and not be able to hear if you didn't know that there's unrest in some cities around the country. Now, these folks that are called, that are burning buildings and doing all these things and in rage and anger, now they, of course, they're hurting other people. But I would submit to you they're hurting themselves as well, because what's happening is that anger is just building up more and more in them. And they're hurting more and more, and they're becoming uncontrolled. So we see that anger. But here we see in the text here, in the next verses, we see how anger began to rage and pride began to rage in the life of King Uzziah. We have here, we have this very, in this very picture here, a scene of the life of this king. We see his, I want us to go back and look a little bit at his life. First of all, I want us to notice the starting point. In Uzziah's success, the starting point was, his success was in seeking God and wanting to do God's will. And unlike his father, Uzziah was a man wholly given to the Lord. He believed and he practiced the word of God. He practiced what Joshua 1:8 says. And that tells us, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. And, of course, we remember in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1:1-3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, that seemed to be the very description of Uzziah. And God made him to prosper. So the turning point is here. First of all, we see in verse 8 and then in verse 15, he was a very famous person. And he became strong. And the Bible tells us here in verse 7 that God helped him. And helped him wonderfully in verse 7 to verse 15. And then he could... The problem was he couldn't handle the success. You know, very few people can handle success. And that was his situation. If God's blessing do not humble us, they will eventually destroy us. Now, it's true that a man's pride, Proverbs 29 and 23 says, a man's pride will bring him low. And also in the book of Proverbs, we see in Proverbs chapter 11, in Proverbs chapter 11, I'll turn there just very quickly. Proverbs 11 and verse 2, the word of God tells us, it says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. With the lowly is wisdom. So we see the starting point in his life was that he was honoring God. He wanted to honor the Lord, didn't he? But then we see in verse 16, and like I said, everything would have been lovely if we didn't have to get to verse 16. And verse 16 here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, but we find the turning point. We had the starting point, but now we see the turning point in his life. He had became famous, and he was strong, and God helped him, of course. But we understand this turning point in his life, pride got a hold of him. So, by way of introduction, we see that starting point, how he started out. Then we see that something began to turn him, and that was his pride. And that brings us down to verse 16, the finishing point. The finishing point was his isolation as a leper. We see in verse 19 down to verse 21. Not content to just be the king, he also wanted to be a priest. He wanted to go into the house of God, and he wanted to do his own sacrifice, and he wanted to do that God had not allowed, would not allow him to do, and not called him to do. He didn't respect the boundaries that God had established, and so God shut him in a narrow place as a leper at the end. Now God gives the wide places to those that he can trust with the freedom. With freedom. Notice in Psalm 18 in verse 16, the Word of God tells us, it says, "And he sent from above, he took me and he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay." But the Lord was my stay. Uzziah didn't commit a gross sin. See, this is the problem here. One of the problems here. He didn't commit a gross sin that would be blatant out in front of everybody else. A gross sin of the flesh, that is. He sinned in the realm of spiritual things. That's where he sinned. And folks, I'm going to submit to you that most church people, most people that go to the house of God regularly, our biggest problem is not necessarily gross sins of the flesh out there, but our biggest problem is a spiritual sin in our own heart. We have to make sure our hearts are right before the Lord, don't we? Now, it's possible to disobey God in the temple with a censer in your hand, but if you do, you didn't expect God to deal very drastically with you, as he saw. Now, during the Old Testament times, the word of the king was law. It was a law. Proverbs 16, and in verse 14, the word of God says, "The wrath of the king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it." So in the Old Testament, we see that if a king said something, that was pretty well much the law, and you would have to obey it. But in most cases, the king's anger, whether righteous or sinful, had a direct effect upon the people. Now, this passage of Scripture, this portion of history, records for us the story of a good king gone bad and the tragic results of that. Now, this chapter records for us the downfall of one of Israel's greatest kings. And let's look at what lay behind King Uzziah's anger as we look at these verses. I would go back and read verse 15 and 16, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal, and his name was spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. I would say to you, first of all, we see in these verses what caused him his great shame, what caused his great anger. I would say he was angry because he had a heart that was ungrateful. He had an ungrateful heart. I want you to look, let's look back at some of the blessings of the Lord. Now, God took it, brought him to the throne. He took the throne when he was 16 years old. By the way, would you want to be governed by a 16-year-old today? I would not. I would not even want to be governed by some. The next thing, he enjoyed great military strength and victory. And by the way, he commanded 2,600 officers, 307,500 soldiers. I would say this man was pretty well blessed, wouldn't you? And we find in verse 14, he had a great supply of arms. Notice it said that he prepared for the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. Now the habergeons were leather coats covered with thin plates of metal, kind of like a bulletproof vest. An arrowproof vest. But here he had a great supply of arms. And in verse 15, we saw the great war machines that were his, probably the finest of that day. And he defeated, God was with him. The word of God here tells us in verse 7 that God helped him against the Philistines. He defeated the Philistines and the Arabians. And he enjoyed great success in his life as a king. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 16:18 that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. One of the first symptoms of backsliding is the loss of gratitude to God. And I would submit to you that this man, King Uzziah, had a heart that was not grateful. Are you grateful for where God has you right now? Are we grateful for the way that God works in our hearts and our lives? May God help us to approach Him with a grateful heart on what He's done. Folks, I have to say, God has been so good to this preacher. God has been so good to this hillbilly preacher from the hills of Tennessee. And I think about what God's done in my life and how He took me, as I said, as a firebrand plucked from the burning. He took me out of the muck and mire of this world and put my feet on a solid rock. Amen. How could I not be grateful for what He's done for me? But then secondly, I want you to notice in these verses, he had an ambition that was unholy. We have an example in the book of Leviticus, if you would, Leviticus chapter 10. And the word of God tells us in verse 1, it says, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire in them and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. You see, King Uzziah had an unholy ambition. He wanted to take the office of the priest. Apparently, he wasn't satisfied with what the priest was doing and how the priest was doing it, so he wanted to do it himself. He took control, wanted to take control. And the sons of Aaron wanted more authority in the tabernacle than they had been given. I want you to turn, please, with me. I hope you don't have the turnip greens cooking at home. they might burn a little bit today. No, I want you to turn to the Epistle of 3 John, if you would. Way back, go to the book of Revelation and turn left. The Epistle of 3 John. Now we know that the idea in the Epistle of 3 John is the thought of the truth. But if I want you to notice that in the book of 3 John, there are three men that are mentioned in the Epistle of 3 John. First of all, we see the godly life of a man that is a commended man named Gaius in verses 2 to 8. God had commended him for the type of Christian he was. And then at the end of the book, we see a man by the name of Demetrius. And we see in verse 12 it said, Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, we also bear record and knew that our record is true. We see Demetrius, a man that was changed. First, we have the man Gaius that was commended. At the end, we have the man that was changed, Demetrius. But I want you to look right in the middle of this little epistle. And we see a man that is condemned, Diotrephes. Let's read about Diotrephes. He had some self-ambitions. Notice it says, he says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Can you imagine going to a church and not being received? I can't understand that. He goes on and says, he says in verse 10, we see not only his selfish ambitions, but we see his selfish activities. Verse 10, it says, wherefore I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. And he that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Here we had this condemned man, Diotrephes, who was willing to just completely disrupt the church, would throw people out of the church, wouldn't receive people in the church, and wouldn't even put up with people who did receive people that came in the church. So we see somewhat of this an unholy ambition. Well, apparently we see some of that in King Uzziah in the book of 2 Chronicles here. So we see a man who had an ungrateful heart. We see a man who had an unholy ambition. And then notice in your scripture back in 2 Chronicles, if you would, verse 19. And it says, Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. Now he was wroth. I mean, he got that. If you're in Tennessee, that means he got just stark or even mad. He was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, from beside the incense altar. Isn't it amazing? This began to happen right then in front of the people. Many years ago now, and in a church up in South Carolina where I pastored, there was a man that was causing all sorts of trouble in the church. By the way, let me just say to you, we have nobody that's causing trouble in our church. Okay, I'm not trying to get at anybody. I'm just telling you as an illustration. This man was causing all sorts of trouble in the church. The deacons had been to him and talked to him. The pastor had been to him and talked to him and everything. During the invitation time at the end of the service, the man sitting two rows back on this side of the church fell dead with a heart attack over the pew. And you say, did God do that? I don't know. But I'm just telling you, God immediately did something in Uzziah's life to stop him, to stop his pride and his anger. Folks, anger and pride can really build up in us so much that it'll just eat us alive. So we see not only do we have this man, this king here that had an ungrateful heart and an unholy ambition, but here in verse 19 we see that he had an unholy will, an unyielded will. He was unyielded to what God wanted. God wanted him to be the political leader. And now he decided he wanted to go into the church and be the spiritual leader. He had an unyielded will. He thought that God would make an exception in his case. You ever met anybody that thought, well, you can't do this, that, and the other thing, but I can get by with it? You know, God will make an exception in my case. You know, you're just as low down and sorry and rotten as anything, but God's going to make an exception in my case. I mean, you say, preacher, are there people like that? Well, over this many years in ministry, I've met a lot of strange birds. But here he had an unyielded will. His will was not God's will. And he decided he was not going to yield to God's will. But then lastly, I want you to notice in verse 20 down to verse 23. It said, "And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people in the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belongeth to the kings. For they said, he is a leper. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead." What an epitaph. What words to be written on the headstone. Not only do we see this man, this king, who had an ungrateful heart, finally. But listen now. This is all because of the blessings of God on him. Because he felt he had made him, he had built him something himself. He felt like he had done it all himself and never gave God the glory. He had an ungrateful heart. And he had an unholy ambition. And he had an unyielded will. But I want you to notice in these verses I read, he ended up with a life that was unhappy. An unhappy life. In verse 19, if you'll notice, he lost his health. It's amazing how that anger, because of pride, anger can cause someone to lose their health. He lost his throne. Here we had the king, but because of his pride and arrogance, he lost his throne. Then we see in verse 21, he lost his privilege to go to the house of God. Verse 21. And then verse 23, we see that he lost his life. All because of pride that generated anger within his heart and his life. In conclusion, I hope we understand by reading this the peril of pride. Folks, I would to God that I could go back and change my life, some things. There are a lot of things before my salvation that I shall never forget. A lot of things I wish I could forget. A lot of things I wish I could change, but I can't. But I've got to praise God and thank Him for what He's done in my heart and life, what He's done for me. So we have to be careful with the danger of pride and anger in our own heart. Let me submit this to you in closing. First of all, in his pride, Moses lost his temper and was kept out of the promised land. You remember Numbers chapter 20. Pride kept Joshua from seeking God's will at Ai, and he lost the battle in Joshua 7. King Nebuchadnezzar's pride turned him into an animal in Daniel chapter 4. You remember Peter's pride led to his denial of Christ in Luke chapter 22. No matter how dear you are to God, says Charles Spurgeon, if pride is harbored in your spirit, he will whip it out of you. They that go up in their own estimation must come down again by his discipline. What about that? Let me read that again. No matter how dear you are to God, if pride be harbored in your heart, in your spirit, he will whip it out of you. They that go up in their own estimation must come down again by his discipline. I'm going to ask you today, while we stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe pride is something that has taken a toll in your own life, in your own heart. Maybe anger has sometimes had taken control, but God spoke to your heart today from the Word of God. And would you, by an uplifted hand, say, "Preacher, would you pray for me?" Would you slip your hand up and right back down? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Father, we pray now that you'd take this word of God, take the fleeting words of this preacher, and remove them from our minds and our hearts. But Father, I pray that you'd take the word of God through the Spirit of God. And Lord, we've raised our hands today. We know how easy it is for us to become angry. We know how easy it is for pride to build up in our hearts. Father, would you forgive us? We've raised our hands today. We've asked you. And we know you tell us in the Word of God that if we asked, that you'll do that. And Father, we praise and thank you for all that you do, all that you've done, and all that you're going to do. I pray, Lord, for each one that raised their hand today. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to, if pride be there, that you'd help us to conquer that. Lord, we see a man here in the Scripture that could conquer nations, conquer armies, but he could not conquer that pride and anger in his own heart. Lord, help us to learn a lesson from this. Lord, help us, Lord. Lord, it's easy, especially in the day we live, to become angry. Help us, Lord, not to do that. Lord, help us to be willing to serve you with reverence and godly fear, to be the kind of Christian, Lord, that would bring glory and honor to you. And Lord, should there be anybody here today that's without Christ, I pray that today they would come to know him as personal Lord and Savior. And Father, we'll praise and thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing 532, if you would, in your hymnal. 532, in times like these, 532. I'm going to ask you, God spoke to your heart. Would you like just to slip out of where you are and come down and pray and go back to your seat? You can do that. And right now is a good time to do that, if you would. Would you do that? In times like these, you need a Savior. Amen. Amen. I think that's sufficient. You be sure to shake hands with our visitors and welcome them back to our church. By the way, if you come as a visitor more than once, you're not a visitor anymore. Okay. All right. God bless you. It's good to see everybody this morning in the house of the Lord. And I'm going to ask my pastor, Brother Dave Ireson, to dismiss us in prayer. God bless you, Brother Dave.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're reminded of a life of tragedy simply because of a common sin that seems to infest everybody. The very first the sin that was ever committed was the sin of pride. And the father of the evil one was the one that did it, old Lucifer. Thank you that you save us and keep us by your great grace. You forgive us.